الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأصلي وأسلم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اهتدى بهديه واقتدى بسنته إلى يوم الدين، وبعد، فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: ثم قست قلوبكم من بعد ذلك فهي كالحجارة أو أشد قسوة، وإن من الحجارة لما يتفجر منه الأنهار، وإن منها لما يشقق فيخرج منه الماء، وإن منها لما يهبط من خشية الله، وما الله بغافل عما تعملون. صدق الله العظيم. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders and sisters, as Muslims we are aware and acquainted with the fact that rapidly as time moves on, we are inching and leaping closer towards the final day of Qiyamah. Many of the prophecies that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had spelt out 14 centuries ago, today we literally see it before our eyes. I want to share with you more specifically what the scholars have written, explaining and expounding on the different types of trials that will plague and paralyze the Ummah on a global level as we draw closer to Qiyamah. Shah Waliullah Muhaddith Dahlawi Rahimahullah, speaking on the chapter of fitan, writes: اعلم أن الفتن على أقسام. اعلم أن الفتن على أقسام. There are different categories and types of fitna. منها فتنة الرجل في نفسه بأن يقسو قلبه فلا يجد لذة الطاعة ولا المناجات. One of the fitnas that will grip the Ummah, and today sadly we are the living statistics of this fitna, that people will be deprived and denied the pleasure and the ecstasy of worshiping Allah. So a person will go through the motions of worship, through the rituals of worship, but he will have no sense of accomplishment and fulfillment out of it. He would observe the prayer, he would embark on the sacred journey, but there will be no fulfilling feeling out of it. The verse I recited substantiates this here. ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَٰلِكَ فَهِيَ كَالْحِجَارَةِ. Allah says in the first juz, in the second chapter, and then your hearts became hard. فَهِيَ كَالْحِجَارَةِ. It became like the stone and the rock and the boulder. أَوْ أَشَدُّ قَسْوًا. Nay, it became more hard than the stone and the boulder. And then Allah speaks of three types of stones. وَإِنَّ مِنَ الْحِجَارَةِ لَمَا يَتَفَجَّرُ مِنْهُ الْأَنْهَارِ. There is that boulder which splits asunder and water gushes forth and an entire river or canal flows thereof. وَإِنَّ مِنْهَا لَمَا يَشَّقَّقُ فَيَخْرُجُ مِنْهُ الْمَاءِ. And there is yet another rock from which perhaps there is a crack or a crevice or a niche or an opening and water trickles down. وَإِنَّ مِنْهَا لَمَا يَهْبِطُ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. And then there is that boulder that falls out of the fear of Allah. But oh man, your heart has become so hard that you do not have any of this. So فَلَا يَجِدُ حَلَاوَةَ الطَّاعَةِ وَلَا لَذَّةَ الْمُنَاجَاتِ. When we look into the lives of our pious predecessors and we look at the lives of the noble companions, may Allah be pleased with them, then there was a fulfillment while worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was a tangible feeling. There was a true ecstasy in it while complying to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إلهي كيف أدعوك وأنا عاص وكيف لا أدعوك وأنت كريم. Oh my Lord, how do I supplicate you when I am a fallible mortal? But then again, oh my Lord, how don't I supplicate you when you are the most benevolent and the most kind and the most merciful? So that's the first type of fitna. The second fitna, ومنها فتنة الرجل في أهله وماله وولده وهي فساد تدبير المنزل. Then comes a more serious fitna, or a bigger fitna. The first one was localized to an individual capacity. The second one is where it involves the entire family structure. And what happens? There's no longer understanding in the home. There's bickering, there's quarreling, there's altercation,
there's arguments. So the home that's supposed to provide that happiness and peace does not any longer provide it. Now let's reflect over three verses of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, جَعَلَ لَكُم مِّن بُيُوتِكُمْ سَكَنًا, that Allah has created for you a home and a dwelling that's supposed to give you tranquility, peace and comfort. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُم مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا, and I've created spouses for you that when you look at your spouse and when she looks at you, vice versa, then it takes away the depression of the day. And not like today, when we look, the depression starts. There was a man who came home early. So his wife asked him, "You're home early today." He said, "The boss had a bad day." And he said, "Go to hell." So I came home. The boss had a bad day and he says, "You know what, just back off and go to hell." So I came home, because for me, home is hell. We laugh, we chuckle. But the brutal truth is, for many people, home has become hell. Home has become hell. Why? Because we haven't made an effort to add and keep the spark going, to ignite that spirit, to keep it. Look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our mother Aisha radiallahu anha says that whenever we would eat together and then I would sip from a vessel, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to passionately place his blessed lips at the precise location of that vessel from which I drank. And he was the paragon of Allah's creation. We all know that to give your wife a morsel of food is an act of charity. But the problem with us is we only practice that when we newly wed. And I often say to the people, that is a sunnah for the newly wed and the nearly dead. That is a sunnah for the newly wed and the nearly dead. Practice upon it. Why do we forsake and abandon these things? We need to, and that is why we see all these types of marriages breaking up, is because we don't look into these things. Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu anhu's head was in the lap of his wife. And then tears well up in his eyes and they trickle down his face. And then when he looks at his spouse and she's also crying, and he asks her, "What makes you cry?" And she said, "Ra'aytuka tabki fabakaytu." I seen you crying and it was enough to make me cry, just to see you in pain. And he said, "I was reflecting over a verse of the Quran, wa in minkum illa wariduha kana ala rabbika hatman maqdiya," that Allah says every person will have to cross the bridge on the day of Qiyamah. And I was reflecting over this verse, and because of that, I started tearing. But imagine the bond and the relation and the intimacy and the feeling and the connection, that to see your spouse in pain or cry is adequate to make the other partner cry. Allahu Akbar. So the second type of fitna is that there will be mayhem. There will be no happiness at home. There just won't be that joy and this warmness and that hospitable ambience. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and Bayhaqi has recorded the narration, يَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ, a time will come, يَكُونُ هَلَاكُ الرَّجُلُ عَلَى يَدِ زَوْجَتِهِ وَأَبَوَيْهِ وَوَلَدِهِ يُعَيِّرُونَهُ بِالْفَقْرِ وَيُكَلِّفُونَهُ مَا لَا يُطِيقُ فَيَدْخُلُ مَدَاخِلَ الَّتِي يَذْهَبُ فِيهَا دِينُهُ, أو كما قال, that a time will come, a man will lose his faith and his iman because of his spouse, his family and his children. Sahaba said, and how is that possible, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He said, a man will become the victim of the criticism of his family. His spouse, his kids, his family will say, "You're not performing, you're not delivering, you're not generating adequate income. We need more. You need to provide us bigger, better, more lavish." And constantly they will be hurling this criticism towards him. And then it will reach a boiling point, do or die, make or break, hell or high waters. Either you give or then we dissolve this relation. And it will reach such a point that he will be compelled to succumb to pressure to sustain the relation. And in doing so, he would resort to unlawful, illicit and illegitimate avenues to generate that revenue, whether it's gambling, whether it's unlawful, whatever it is. In doing so, he will lose his entire faith. In doing so, he will lose his entire faith. Why? I've got to provide whatever the cost is. These are the pressures that would be mounting upon me. So really, as we walk through these fitnas, you would realize tragically that we are victims of practically each one. We ask Allah to protect us. When there's a virus in the air, you need to inoculate. You need to take the necessary vaccination. Why? Because it's in the air. You need to quarantine. You need to take protection. These are so many viruses in the air. But unfortunately, we are not inoculating ourselves adequately. The third fitna. وَمِنْهَا فِتْنَةٌ تَمُوجُ كَمَوْجِ الْبَحْرِ وَمِنْهَا فِتْنَةٌ تَمُوجُ كَمَوْجِ الْبَحْرِ وَهِيَ فَسَادُ تَدْبِيرِ الْمَدِينَةِ وَطَمِعِ النَّاسِ فِي الْخِلَافَةِ مِنْ غَيْرِ حَقٍ وَإِسْتِحْقَاكٍ The first was in your individual capacity. The second fitna will unfortunately engulf your home. And the third would be on a much bigger scale, and that would rock the entire community and the planet. And what would that be? Where every person would be desirous of position and power and authority without being a deserving candidate. From the micro to the macro, from the domestic to the global, from the simple to the big, from the small to the huge, each person would say, make me in charge. Give me the reins of power. Give me authority. Give me position. And I want to... اجعلني على خزائن الأرض. Sayyidina Yusuf was the deserving person. And hence he was given the position. But everybody would make that claim without having what it takes to deliver. When Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was in his fatal illness, and this is mentioned in a kitab, Taysirul Kareem al-Mannan fi Sirati Uthman ibn Affan. Sayyidina Uthman, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was in his fatal illness, and then he summoned Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, and he said, I'm going to dictate to you something and you write. And can you imagine Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the man who had taken, you know, the shoulders of Abu Bakr, you know, the colossal and the mammoth task that rested on the shoulders of Abu Bakr at the tragic demise of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that our mother Aisha radiallahu anha said, Wallahi laqad nazala bi abi ma law nazala bil jibal ar-rasiyat laha dhaha. Such a responsibility had fallen on my dad post the demise of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if that colossal and weighty and mammoth responsibility had to fall on the mountains of the world, they would have caved in. But it was the broadness of the shoulder of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu that he swallowed that, and he managed himself, and he rescued the ummah, and he nipped all the fitnas in the bud, and he saved it from all the type of fitnas that were really trying to get into the ummah, from the claim of prophethood, from the denial of zakah, from withholding the expedition of Usama, and so on and so forth. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said to Sayyidina Uthman, write. And as he was writing, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu was writing, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu became unconscious and he went into a coma. Now, in an average situation, that is an ideal time to exploit it. That is an ideal time to manipulate things, because something very, very important is being dictated. And at that time, the man dictating, who's in power and office, slips into a coma. Let your pen write and put your whole family, and let nepotism go to the best. And write and, you know, whatever you want to do. Sayyidina Uthman pauses and he waits, and he patiently waits. And then he says, let me complete the document. And I've given you the reference. And then he completes the document from his own side, and he writes down the name of the person whom he feels is most deserving. After having completed this, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu gains consciousness. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu asked Sayyidina Uthman, so what happened then? What did you write? He said, I wrote, Katabtu Isma Umar. I wrote the name of Umar radiallahu anhu, that after you, O Abu Bakr, he will be in charge. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr said, Munshariha Sadri. Oh, that is so beautiful. This is so soothing. This is so comforting to know that you wrote the name of the very person I was supposed to dictate to you. كتبت اسم الذي كنت أريد أن آمرك به. And I'm so happy to leave this world and meet Allah, knowing that there's no rivalry in the ummah. Nobody's fighting for position. Imagine a dad is in the throes of death, and then he gathers his children, and they are busy discussing how they will wind up the estate. And with maturity and dignity and respect and honor, they can sit and say, listen, you can have this, or I'm not in need of this, or we can dissolve it like this. With great understanding and in a very amicable way. Can you imagine how comforting that would be to the soul of the departing individual and the father himself? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, you wrote the name of the very person I wanted to dictate. وَلَوْ كُنْتَ كَتَبْتَ نَفْسَكَ كُنْتَ لَهَا أَهْلًا. And the truth is, O Uthman, even if you had to write your own name and say that after my demise you are in charge, honestly, you are no less deserving. You are no less deserving. But subhanallah, that was once upon a time. Unfortunately, today that is gone. Each person is claiming power. One's office, one's position, one's authority. And what happens to fame? In English they say, fame, if you can't manage it, it becomes a flame. If you can't manage it, it becomes a flame and it burns that very same person. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, when he was about to leave this world, he called Abdullah ibn Abbas. And he said, oh Abdullah ibn Abbas, I don't know who to hand over the reins to. Those that wear the cap of power. Those that find themselves in a position of authority. Let us do some soul searching. And let us do some serious thinking.